I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bracia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hi, Super Mamas. Welcome to another episode of your favorite show, your favorite podcast, the Super Mama Podcast. Paulina, what is going on?
Not much. We were talking about the award season. It's award season. I'm excited. I've been really watching movies. Did you watch the movie Oppenheimer? Have you watched that movie?
Girl, I haven't watched
it. Oh, that's true. You said.
This is the first time and probably ever that I haven't watched any movies from the Oscar nominations. Barbie is the only movie that I'm familiar with. Outside of Barbie, zero. I was talking to our Michelada team. We went to have lunch. Oh, by the way, Guerrilla Tacos, bomb. If you guys are in LA, please go to Guerrilla Tacos.
It was, I love Guerrilla Tacos.
Fire. We went to lunch there for one of those birthdays. And we were saying how 2023 was probably just like a blip in the system and it didn't really exist. So basically, if there's any movie in 2023, anything that happened last year. In fact, Fernando was saying how he never even fully wrote 2023. Like it was always felt really weird to him. Now he feels really good writing 2024. Just feels right.
Yeah.
Like 2023 never felt right. So No, zero movies. So zero, nothing.
No, you're right.
I will say what I have been doing and what I did a lot in 2023 was cook. And I just want to encourage all of our super mamas. Check out my new series on Instagram, which is my favorite series that I have launched. I think you and I had talked about it because it really is something that I do on the daily when yep. I just call a chef and I'm like, hey, what should I make? And they tell me what to make. So I decided to film it. And it's been my favorite thing to film and it's so much fun. So for those of you who haven't followed me on social media, who don't follow my Instagram, this new 1-900 Call a Chef is so fun.
I love that show. I love that show. You should maybe, you know what? Let's put it out in the universe. I love that show, Bricia, your 1-900 Chef. I love that show. I love your show. I love watching that show that you make with 1-900 Call a Chef. It will become a show.
Oh, I hope so.
Right? It should. And I love it that you changed it to 1-900.
1-900,
because these kids nowadays don't know what 1-800 is, which is so funny. They don't know that the team that works with us for social media are like really young. And so sometimes when we talk to them, they're like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've been recently watching with my kids Full House, the old school one.
Mm-hmm.
Good Feel TV. And I was telling them that this show is one of the shows that showed me what life in the U.S. was when I was a kid and we were living in Oaxaca. We used to watch Full House all the time. And so that was filmed in the early 90s, 1992, 1993. And so there's so many things that my kids see that they're like, what is that? You know, like there's one episode when the dad is filming the girls. And remember those big old cameras that we used to have at the house that look like the old school ones? My kids are like, why is he carrying that? Or there's a scene on a show where they go to develop a film and they're like, do you want it rush 1 hour? And my kids are like, 1 hour? I could not live in the past. I'm like, I know. We used to have to wait days to see our pictures. We used to drop them off at CVS that was in Pali? We used to drop them off and then go pick them up later. And my kids are like, that is so funny, mom. So I've been watching that show with them and showing them. And then they're super fascinated at everything that is happening with that show. Anyway, I don't know how we started talking about this show. I think it's just funny. It's just funny how things have changed so fast now. My daughter is rocking the CD player that you gave her for Christmas.
I love it.
She's carrying her CD player and she thinks she's cool because she has a CD player. I'm like, man, we used to have... Oh, no, yes. I'm going to tell you. She asked me the other day, mom, how big is a boombox? How big is a boombox? And I was like, well, they're different sizes. She's like, do you think I can get a boombox? So I'm in the hunt to find my daughter a boombox because she wants to play cassettes. Aww. And she wants to play tapes of Stray Kids. And we were talking about when you used to tape. But also, I'm just going to tell you something really quick. Be careful what you tell your kids because then they repeat it in front of the public and it's very embarrassing. Just FYI.
Of course.
Anyway.
So who do we have on the show today?
This week on the show, since it's award season, we wanted to bring someone that is working really hard on bringing Latino representation into Hollywood, into the arena, Fanny Grande is a Venezuelan-American filmmaker, actor, and director who has over 20 years of experience in the entertainment industry. She has a passion for performing since she was very young, and she has been recognized as a three-time Imagen Award nominee. Selected as one of the 8 fellows for the prestigious See It, Be It Fellowship by Gina Davis, Fanny has made significant contributions to the industry, and she is also the co-founder of Avenida Productions, an independent movie studio who is dedicated to democratizing access to Hollywood through innovative solutions for funding, production, and distribution. In February of 2024, they are launching A+, a streaming platform in English for U.S. Latinos. Please, guys, go as soon as this is out there. Please support, download it, watch it. We need more representation, as we see. We mentioned it on the other show before, that shout out to America Ferrera for the amazing work that she's doing representing us. But I think there's still a lot more work to be done. We need to see ourselves on the screen. We need to be on the screen. And Fanny is one of the people that is making this happen. So without further ado, enjoy your episode with Fanny Grande. Welcome to Super Mamas, Fanny. How are you? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I know that we've been trying to connect for a while now, and I am super excited to have you here in Super Mamas. Welcome. Before we get into our conversation today, can you please introduce yourself to the Super Mamas? Please tell us who you are, where you live, who you live with, how many kids do you have, if you have any kids, what do you do, what does your day look like? Well, tell us all things, Fanny, please.
Oh my goodness, it's a lot. Thank you so much for having me. So my name is Fanny Grande. I am the CEO and co-founder of Avenida Entertainment Group, and we are a production company and media tech company committed to democratizing access to Hollywood for our community, the Latino community in Hollywood. I grew up in Venezuela. I was born in the States, but I grew up from Venezuela. And I came back to the U.S. when I was 17 for university because I wanted to be an actress. My whole life, I just wanted to be an actress. So when my parents told us, we're going to the U.S., I was like, ooh, Hollywood, even though we ended up in Denver, Colorado.
Ooh, Denver's beautiful, though.
It's pretty. It's cold. But talk about a culture shock from Venezuela to Denver, Colorado, you know?
Right.
And I went to school for acting and directing. I have 3 kids, 2 boys, and a little girl that's my stepdaughter. And my boys are grown. I have a 24-year-old, a 21-year-old, and Sophia, who's 13. And then we have 3 pets.
Yes. Oh my God. Well, first of all, I want to hear all about your skincare routine because you look amazing for having a 24 and a 21-year-old. I mean, and I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying because I am barely getting into the teenage years and I feel like I'm already aging so much with one teenager. I cannot even believe what it's like with 2 teenage boys or now they're grown men.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm always going to be their mom. So they still call me for things. I still check in all the time because they're always going to be my babies. I don't care how old they are. And I became a mom very young. I was still in college when I got pregnant. I was in a rush to be a wife and a mom. And I am so happy that I had my sons really young because they sort of kept me on track, right? Especially in this industry, you know, you hear so many things.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do anything because I was a single mom of 2. I got to take care of my babies. So everything I did was always very focused.
No, 100%. I always feel like our kids are our motor. They're our energy. They're our driving force. And when I became a mom, I was like, what did I do with my time before? How did I even, you know, I was like, what? Like, I always felt like I didn't have time to do anything. And then you become a mom and you're like, oh no, I really don't have time to do anything. And then you figure it out and then you do it and then you become so much more productive and so much more creative and all of that stuff. But thank you for sharing. I think you are the little girl that a lot of us are growing up in our countries, right? We look at Hollywood and we see, I was born in Oaxaca with my siblings and I still remember seeing the TV and thinking, wow, what is that like? And my sister and I used to play, pretend that we lived in Ley and that we spoke English. And in Oaxaca, we would used to you know, we're like pretending, and now we're here, you know, not in the Hollywood industry, but I know how difficult it is, and more living in Los Angeles, it's a land of the dreams for everybody that wants to make it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that you're here today, because I was watching the acceptance award from America Ferrera last week, and I was like, how can I print this and put it in my, you know, because we grew up not seeing ourselves. My view of what the American life was, Full House, was Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, me too.
Right? And like, no one in those shows looked like this. No one in those shows, you fantasize this life about what it's like to be here, but that's not our lives. Then I came and I was in high school, and then I watched Clueless. And that was like, oh my God, you know, Clueless. And that was like, that does not represent us. That is not our life.
No, it's very interesting because, you know, growing up, I always wanted to be an actor and a singer. And I watch all these Hollywood movies and I imagine myself in them. And it wasn't until I moved to the US, right? And actually started pursuing a career in this industry that I realized, wait a minute. Nobody looked like me back then either in these films. It was just sort of like a blind spot. So now when I go back and watch like my favorite shows growing up or my favorite movies, I realize, whoa, there was not a single Latino. Like in the whole, even if the movie took place in New York, LA, you know, Texas, places that are super Latino, you wouldn't see us except in the background. But I didn't get it until I actually started to pursue a career in the field, because I feel like I'm almost blessed because I grew up in Latin America. So we didn't have limitations of what, you know, a Latino can look on screen. You know, we could be any role. I mean, we do have issues of colorism. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
Latinos can play any role, right? You can be the bad guy, the good guy, the teacher, the president, whatever, because that's what we have in our countries too. So when I moved here and I realized, wait a minute, in college, I was auditioning to be in a play and they wouldn't cast me in anything. Even though I was paying for an education, I was like, I don't understand why. Because I've been acting my whole life, even on TV in Venezuela. So the dean of the college made a comment like, oh, you know, people are not going to believe you can do Shakespeare. And I was like, whoa.
Oh my God.
We do Shakespeare. Shakespeare is done everywhere in the world. So I very quickly realized, okay, there's something really wrong here. And how we're portrayed in the media is affecting how we're perceived. And once again, because I didn't grow up here, the way people would talk to me in the middle of the country, in Denver has changed a lot over the last 20 years. But when I first moved there, like the comments I would get is like I was an alien from another planet. I was the only Latina like in my program. I just felt so out of sorts. And at the end of the day, I just wanted to be an artist. And I don't think anybody's ethnicity should preclude them from pursuing a dream. So very early on in college, I decided to, encouraged by one of my professors, I decided to start creating my own content, right? This is before everybody was creating their own content. So I wrote a one-woman show. I started filming short films, etc. And I quickly realized, oh, this is how we do it. You just have to create your own stuff, you know?
Yep.
20 years later, I'm still doing it, just at a different scale. Instead of waiting for opportunities to come, we have to create them.
Yes. I totally agree with you. I always share the story, the reason why we started Super Mamas, and, you know, how it all started almost 9 years ago when we became moms. It was because of that same thing. It was because we couldn't see ourselves in these spaces. We didn't identify with any of the mother stories that were out there or other places that were talking about like motherhood. And we were like, that's not me. You know, I still have to go to work. I still have to hustle. I still have to do this and be a mom at the same time. I wish I could be at a park at 10 in the morning, but I can't. Like, I have to go to work. I wish I could be at like the mommy meetups at 11 in the morning or a Thursday. And I'm like, I can because I have to go to work. And so we didn't see ourselves represented. So we're like, let's do something where we talk about our stories. And it's the same story. Like, every time when I think about the way that I grew up, seeing myself on magazines, on TV, on other places, the truth is, like, I didn't even see myself, even within Mexico. You know, we're talking about colorism and growing up in the novela era, the telenovela era. Everyone that was in the telenovela was not looking like me. I am from Oaxaca. I come from an indigenous background. My people were being portrayed as the help, as the uneducated, as the little people. And so we didn't have any aspirations growing up. We didn't see ourselves. I think the movie that really made a huge difference in a lot of our lives was Selena, right? Like, once we saw Selena and we saw that on the screen, we're like, oh, wait, what? Because I'm looking back, and now that I have my own children, I am showing them shows that I used to watch before and things that I used to watch before. And a lot of those in the stories, Latinos were portrayed as gang members. They were portrayed as like the funny character with the funny, heavy accent. And those were our stories. That's how people saw us. That's how people viewed us. And I think that really stuck. And you and I were talking a little bit about what's happening right now politically. And I think it is because of that, because those are the stereotypes that are stuck in people's head about who we are and Latinos. And it is our responsibility to change that. And I think that's exactly what you're doing with your work.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's still happening. Unfortunately, it hasn't really changed that much. I think there's a few prominent actors or filmmakers that have been able to break through. So there's a perception that Latinos are fairly represented, but we're not. We're 20% of the U.S. population. Yeah, we only get like less than 2% of roles. And half of those leading roles actually are negative stereotypes, right? The stereotype that we're so tired of seeing ourselves represented as. And I'm talking about the year 2023. Like, last year, we actually lost ground. We got less representation. And behind the scenes, it's even worse. And for me, this has become my fight, because I am committed to transforming how we're perceived for my kids. When I started, it was for my kids. I'm like, I want my kids and other Latino kids to see themselves represented in a positive light. Because when you see it, you can be it, right? What you see is a community represented as a community riddled with problems. We always have some sort of problem. What do you expect?
Right.
As opposed to, like, you see yourself represented as teacher, the lawyer, why not the president? Then you can aspire. So it not only affects how other perceives us, but to me, the most important thing is how we perceive ourselves. And it can limit what we see possible. It can limit how others see us. And that's why I really believe that's why we're really behind in other industries. Raising capital for startups led by Latinos, we're the last group. Even though we're 20% of the U.S. population, we open more businesses than anybody else, right? Politically, we're 20% of the U.S. population. Our representation is less than 1%. Now, if you were watching a TV show or a movie, or you constantly saw, especially the kids, Latinos as president, as the nurse, as the teacher, then it becomes like, oh, this is something I can do.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I decided to make movies because I saw a movie and I'm like, oh, I can do this, you know, and I started my career. No, my parents were super supportive. I decided that I wanted to do this because I saw it on TV, you know, and
exactly.
So it's like, oh, that's what I want to do. And I can't tell you how many people have said they've seen one of my films and they've decided to pursue something. So we know there's power in storytelling.
I totally believe that. And I think, like, also putting quality content out there for our community. A lot of our people are hardworking people that, and I know that for my our own personal experience, my younger sister pursued a career on communications because she always said that the TV was her best friend growing up, because my parents were working and my parents were busy. So my parents were always out and were always hustling and putting the restaurant, working at the restaurant and working 12, 14, 16 hours a day. And my younger sister, she was at home watching TV and just watching just content. And then when she grew up, she pursued a career in communication because of that. And she always tells me there was nothing out there that could really speak to my experience, or that's when I started noticing that I was different from others. And so I believe that even for our community, for our own community, putting quality content out there makes a huge difference in a kid's life, because TV, it's a big part of how we grow up.
Yeah.
Whether people like it or not, it's a huge part of who we become.
It's reality. Latinos consume the most media than any other group in this country. So
of course,
might as well fight for representation that is fair, that it's equal. I mean, I'm not saying we got to always be good, goody two shoes, right? I just want us to be portrayed as complex characters like everybody else, you know, and to really start driving away from all these stereotypes where it's like, we're not American. We're always the other for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. And our community has built this country too. I'm an immigrant. I consider myself an immigrant because I grew up in Latin America, but there are many, many Latinos who are second, third, fourth generation, and they're still being told they're immigrants in their own country. And I think it has to do with media. Like, it really has to do with representation.
Yes. And that, again, I think that's why it's so important what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about your company, what it does, how it came to be, what it means for the community. A little bit more about your work, please, Fanny.
We opened Avenida 7 years ago with one mission: to transform Hollywood, to really empower creatives from underrepresented communities. And it all started because I made a movie called Homebound about 10 years ago. And I had been a filmmaker for a few years, had won many, many awards, including big festivals like South by Southwest. Yet I couldn't get representation. I couldn't move forward. It was very strange. So at the meantime, I'm seeing my white male counterparts get jobs, get hired, get representation, and really move up. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. My films are getting awards. People like them. So somebody said, you know what? It's because they're short films. You need to have a feature length film. At the time, I was a single mom of two little boys. So I'm like, how the heck am I going to make a feature? So I wrote it. I started pitching it to studios, to production companies. And people would tell me, like, why is the movie in English? Why is the movie not set in East LA? Wait, so you're going to get J-Lo, right? It's like, oh my gosh, J-Lo. I don't think J-Lo's going to do my movie. At the end of the day, what I wanted to do was really create a platform and create new celebrities. And of course, it's in English. We speak English too. And of course, it's not set in East LA. We're 20% of the US population. Not all of us fit in East LA. Mm-hmm. So I just could not get the funding. So somebody pointed out crowdfunding. And this was 10 years ago. So I gave it a shot. It was probably the first one in the community who did a crowdfunding campaign. And I asked people, help me transform the way we're portrayed in the media. I'm making a movie about an American family that just happens to be a Latino family. So a lot of people started to give money. Now, it's very normal now. People talk about inclusion and diversity and the fight. But back then, nobody had heard this. So a lot of people gave me a little bit of money. And it was really beautiful because I shared my whole journey on my Facebook. We didn't have Instagram back then. And it just sort of took legs. Like, the community really was, oh, we can have a say how we're represented. Great. So we raised enough money. And then we were filming the movie in a small town in Texas. A lot of the people that I gave, or that had seen the video, that had heard about the campaign, started showing up on set with food, or they wanted to be extras. I didn't have to pay for locations, for anything, picture cards, nothing. Everything was free because the community was really emboldened to make this feature film their own. This is before drones. So I even got somebody came and said, hey, I have a crop duster. So my DP went on this tiny, tiny helicopter and I got aerial shots, which back then was like, whoa, how did you do that? Because usually you had to rent an actual helicopter with a driver and all this. So anyway, the movie came out real great, but then I couldn't sell it. Mm. So same reasons. Why is it in English? I couldn't sell it for the same reasons. I would get asked, why isn't it in Spanish? Why isn't it set in East LA? Who's the star? J-Lo. I mean, that's a testament to J-Lo and how awesome she is. But I went back to the community and I said, you know this movie you helped me make? Nobody will buy it. So folks started requesting the movie at their local movie theater.
Oh, wow.
And I started touring the country that way. And after a few months, I sold it to two companies because they really saw, wait, what is this movie for this market? It's a large market and this very little content for us, right? So I was able to sell it. And then after that, at the time I was running a nonprofit called Nosotros. And Nosotros was founded by Ricardo Montalban and other actors about 50 years ago to combat the same issue. Isn't that sad? Anyway, so I was running Nosotros and a lot of the members were seeing what I was doing with this film, right? I had, you know, sort of created this little revolution with the movie. So people started asking, how did you do that? Can you teach me? So I started helping people how to crowdfund because at the end of the day, I found crowdfund to be a very effective way to engage your community, but to also get your products funded, right? So I started teaching people how to crowdfund sort of like on the side. I was still a single mom. I was distributing my film myself. I had two little boys.
In your free time, because yes. You had so much.
Yes. Running Nosotros. And then I had some clients that I started teaching them how to crowdfund, and they were doing it very successfully, like very successfully. And I was like, wow, this is a way to really break down the, at least the funding barrier to a point. Mm-hmm. And then at the time, my husband, Nelson, and I had just started dating, and he was there when I was coaching somebody. And this filmmaker raised all this money in like 2 days. He's like, babe, this is a business. You're giving it away for free. At first, I didn't want to open a business because I'm so committed to this mission. I didn't want to charge people. But he's like, listen, right now you're working 10 jobs. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're doing a million things. Why not have a business with a mission? You can actually have an impact.
Yes.
And that's what we did. We opened Avenida 7.5 years ago. Our first client was for a movie that starred Danny Trejo. And today we've raised over $5 million for 230 projects that celebrate diversity.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Incredible what we've been able to do with the community. I always want to say we are where we are because the community has really taken on our philosophy of empowering ourselves. So when people say, oh, Latinos are crabs in a barrel, it's like I've experienced that. So I'm not going to say that's not true. But I've also proven, right, we've proven with our company that if you give people the right mission and the right vehicle, they will support. So a couple of years ago, we decided to scale our business because we had been bootstrapping it. And we've been in this journey of fundraising and scaling the business because in just a few short weeks, we're going to be launching a streamer. An English language streaming platform for U.S. Latinos like you and me. So like a Netflix for Latinos, like a BET for Latinos, right? And it's been a very beautiful journey. And I'm excited. I mean, it's been really, 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 really hard. Being an entrepreneur is very difficult, but I'm very excited because we've been able to empower the Latino creative community. And now we have all this product, all this content that's being produced in our ecosystem, right? And now we're launching a streamer. So we're going to be able to connect the audiences that are so eager to see themselves represented to the creative community.
Wow.
That's what we had set out to do. So we're launching the end of February to millions of households with hundreds and hundreds of hours of content that is not really out there that people haven't seen. We have documentaries, TV shows, films, unscripted short films, reality, and much more. So very excited.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I want to touch 2 points that you did because I was like taking notes. I'm learning everything. I mean, I love everything that you said, but one of the things that you said, and I think that's why you are so successful, is that you said, I wanted to create a business with a mission. You did not want to create a business for you. You wanted to create a business to help others. You wanted to create a business that had a specific mission. And you touched on how important community has been for you. Yes, a lot of people refer to Latinos as crabs in a barrel, but that's in every group. There's crabs in every barrel, like Latinos, non-Latinos. There's all sorts of people. There's also amazing people around us. And I really think that is why you are so successful, because you're not only thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about others. We recently had someone on the show talked about service leadership and what that means, right? Like as a leader, it's not just about me. There's plenty of companies out there that are just to serve a purpose of the one person behind, you know, the person. But when you create a company that has a specific purpose to help others, I believe that's why God sends us a lot of blessings because you're not only thinking about yourself.
Plus, when you have a mission statement that's really powerful and inclusive and other people want to be a part of your mission, when things get hard, I often remind myself, this is not about me. This is bigger than me. This is about my kids. This is about all the kids in this country feeling seen. This is about our community feeling like they belong and being celebrated for the contributions that we've given to this country, to the building of this country. So it's very important. It's also a huge industry. I mean, billions and billions of annual revenue. We buy 1 in 4 movie tickets. We consume the most streaming, yet we're invisible. We're being excluded from an actual business, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's also a business that
right.
we can build wealth from.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I am super excited to see the streaming platform. How are we going to be able to find this? Tell us, how can the Super Mama support your mission? How can we support it in general? How can we help with the mission that you have with your business?
So the platform is going to be called A+, American Latino Entertainment A+. And we're very excited because we are launching on Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, just everywhere, the iOS, the Android, wow. Fast Channels, Zumo, et cetera, et cetera. People can help us by watching the content. It's free. It's free to watch. We just need you to watch the ads. So we decided to make this a free platform. There's a bunch of other platforms out there that are ad supported. So I just needed everybody here to watch the content, to make sure your family watches the content, to help us grow, because we want to become as big as Netflix. We want to become a very large and respected platform, but that's going to require some build. That's going to require that the audiences actually watch the content so we can generate some revenue. And then we'll start green lighting bigger projects and bigger films and bigger TV shows, etc. So yeah, we just need everybody to watch, to let other people know about it. You can follow me on socials to see when it launches, but it's launching in February, next month.
So funny. What are those social handles that you want us to follow? What are those social handles?
So my personal one is at Fanny V Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And then our company is Avenida, like Avenue.
Okay.
And on it's Avenida Productions.
Perfect. We will be following. Before I let you go, I want to ask you, if there is my little sister listening to this show, younger Fanny in college, someone that still sees and has dreams and hopes to be able to be in Hollywood and in that arena, because everybody wants to be in Hollywood. What are 2 things or 3 things or 1 thing that you would tell your younger self or that young little girl that is watching TV or that little boy that is watching TV and it's dreaming of being on the other side of the screen? And everybody tells you, oh, that's such a long shot. You should look for something else. You shouldn't even consider that. Like, what would you tell that next generation of kids growing up? And even if they're not here in the US, even if they're dreaming to come here, like, what are some of the lessons that you've learned that you would share?
If somebody tells you, oh, don't do that, it's too hard, and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to do it, that wasn't for you. So just know this is a long journey and it really takes determination. It is an industry that is hard for most, no matter what background you are. We're just, unfortunately, at a disadvantage, but we are changing things. So my advice is always to not wait for anybody to give you permission to follow your dreams, but create your own. When I made my first short film, I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew somebody at Univision that had a camera, you know, in Denver, and I knew somebody else. You know, I was in college studying how to act and direct, so I made my first short film and I learned a lot. And then I made another and another and another. It's also very, very important to network, especially in this industry. It's all about who you know. And if there are any young people listening to this podcast, it's so important that you follow your dreams and you join the industry if this is what you want to do, because we need more people in the industry. Because that way we're going to have an impact. And if you're a parent listening to me right now and your kid wants to be an actor or a writer or a musician. And I know it can be like, very difficult because you want them to be pure, right? You want them to be safe and able to make money. Encourage their artsy side. They can still pursue another degree, but art applies everywhere. So encourage that artistry, that exploration, and just create your own avenida. This is why our company is called Avenida. We really believe we have the power within ourselves.
Oh my God, I love that. Thank you so much for being here today, Fanny, for your time. Supermamas, please do not forget to go February. Do we have a date? Just February?
You know, we're going to have a party and everything, but we'll make sure to post it on our socials, on our website.
Yes.
And we just need everybody to watch because what we're doing, it's a behemoth of a task. But we're very confident that with your support, we're going to get there and it's going to be really successful and a very beautiful platform to celebrate our stories.
Yes. I mean, guys, we're talking about representation. We're talking about the power of community. Let's show the power of our community is. Go and support A+, support Fanny, support all of our Latinos representing our stories out there. We need more of our stories out there. We need more of our people out there. So please go out and represent, go out and support. Thank you, Fanny, so much for being on the show today. And I want to have you back once this is like blown up and you're the next Netflix. I hope that you come back and tell us all about it. Thank you again for being on the show.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and
see you next week, Supermamas!